In 2008, Carson and Connie Odie traveled the state of Iowa county by county. In 2010 and 2011, they went to as many Iowa festivals and celebrations as they could. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, I'll talk to the Odies about what they saw and learned as they traveled the state. They've written about their journeys in two new books that are chock full of photographs. The books are Iowa Spaces, Places, Faces, and Celebrate Iowa. Later in the hour, I'll talk with Dennis Lee and Darren Shoemaker. They're part of Team 99 Counties, a group that is running across every county in Iowa for the American Heart Association. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're going to talk about two different journeys through the 99 counties of Iowa. Later in the hour, I'll talk with Dennis Lee and Darren Shoemaker, who together make up Team 99 Counties. They are 39 counties through their goal of running across every county in Iowa to raise money and awareness for the American Heart Association. My first guests today have completed their travels through all of Iowa's 99 counties, and they took a more comfortable path, traveling by car and staying at some lovely inns and bed and breakfasts. In 2008, Carson and Connie Odie visited all 99 counties, and in 2010 and 2011, Carson went to 103 different festivals in the state of Iowa. He has written about these journeys in two big, colorful books full of great pictures. The first is Iowa Spaces, Places, Faces, and the second is Celebrate Iowa, and they are both with me today. Hello, Carson.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you for being here, and hello, Connie.
Good morning.
Thank you both so much for being here. And tell me, Carson, where did this idea for the first book come from?
Over the years, I made my living as a graphic designer and illustrator, a freelancer. And a couple of my clients, I did the their pretty corporate image type stuff, the newsletter, brochures, ads, and this type of thing. And I also wrote copy for these projects. And my wife Connie was a full partner in this endeavor. She did everything but the artwork, and she was my cranky copy editor for the writing part of it. And I had a dream. My dream started maybe 20 years ago. To use whatever talents I have and the complementary talents of my wife, Connie, to produce a special book on the state of Iowa. I didn't go into this cold. I read what was available on Iowa, and I thought I could put together just a totally comprehensive book on the state.
And you're both Iowa natives?
We both were born in Iowa. I was born in my grandmother's farmhouse south of Washington, and I lived in the Decorah area on farms around Decorah until I was in fourth grade. And then my family moved across the border into Lanesboro, Minnesota, where my dad started up a sale barn. But I never lost my loyalty to the state of Iowa. I always thought being a Hawkeye sounded better than being a Gopher.
And Connie, you were born on the other side of the state, right?
Yes, in northwest Iowa. I was born in Mrs. Murphy's nursing home in Kingsley, Iowa. I grew up in Mobile. And that's about 20 miles from Sioux City.
Mm-hmm. All right. Right on Highway 20.
That's right.
I've driven past it many times. I'm afraid I haven't stopped, though. So you have lived for many years in the Des Moines area. And Carson, you were saying you looked at the other books that were out there on Iowa. When did you get the idea that you and Connie would visit every county in the state?
Well, I've been thinking about it for about 20 years before I did the first book. I didn't tell Connie I was thinking about it. So when I sprung it on her that I would like to try it this year, in the year 2008, she kind of looked at me like I was a little goofy. And
you had been thinking about this for 20 years and you'd never mentioned it?
I'd never mentioned it to her, no. It's just been in the back of my mind. And so then I had to go into a lengthy explanation of what I was thinking about doing. And she said, okay, let's give it a whirl. So we plunged into it.
All right. Connie, what was your reaction when he told you about this?
Well, I wasn't too surprised. He just has an inordinate love of Iowa. And since we're both from the state, we knew something about it. And it just sounded like a good adventure. We were at a point in our life where we could do something a little different. We'd put five kids through college, and they were all out on their own, and none of them threatening to come back into the house. So that was a good thing. So the timing seemed right.
All right. So you decided you would visit all 99 counties in 1 year. Carson, how did you set this up? You must have mapped it out.
Well, I had a general idea of what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to start down at Keokuk in southeast Iowa and go across the first tier and then go up and back across the second tier, just back and forth from river to river until we ended up in Lyon County up in northwest Iowa. The timing of it, I did not know exactly how that would work. We started out by taking Thursday and Friday and going out and covering three counties in each trip out. And actually, that's kind of the way it ended up. I didn't know it would work that way, but it ended up that way. And it was perfect because we would go out and cover these three counties, and we'd stay overnight in the middle county at a bed and breakfast or a locally owned hotel or motel. And we did that throughout the year then.
All right. So you took Thursday and Friday.
That's correct. And we live in Des Moines. I don't know if that was made clear.
And why did you pick Thursday and Friday?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, we didn't want to travel on the weekend, and Thursday and Friday just seemed kind of unnatural. Then we'd come back and have the whole weekend to start working on the copy. And also, we took every third week off and just to kind of catch up on the rest of our life. And so it actually ended up being 33 trips.
All right. And when you picked these three counties and you went tier by tier, working your way back and forth across the state, did you make a plan for what you would do in each one of these counties, Carson?
Before we made each trip, I did get on the internet and looked up Wikipedia, for one, and if there was any information on the towns that we were going to, I made a note of it. And then when we made the trip, the first thing we'd do is stop at a chamber in these counties and get their take on what they thought was neat about their county. And we stopped at every county seat library and did history research.
And I suppose that made it important to travel on weekdays as
yes.
well.
Yes, yeah, we definitely didn't want to do this on weekends. Yeah. It had to be a weekday trips, yeah. And we made a point to interview people in every county, or at least one person in every county. And in some cases, we knew who we were going to talk to. And in many cases, we just found someone when we got there. And I made a point to include some Iowa celebrities in this as well as people off the street. So there's a total cross-section of people that we talked to.
I was struck by the fact that, you know, as you mentioned, you interview one person in every county. But as you said, some of these people were people you just sort of met by random chance. You didn't know that you were going to run into them, and you found some great stories that way. But how did you introduce yourself to people?
Well, I told them what we were doing, and people reacted very positively. You know, they liked the idea of being in a book. And the other thing is I found going out talking to all these people, and not the ones I'm just interviewing for the book, but just talking to people and getting their help on researching these things. Everybody was cooperative. They all believed me. You know, I thought people would look at me skeptically, but Iowans are not that way. Iowans trust you until you prove differently, whereas in other cultures, I think they don't trust you until you prove that you are trustworthy.
Well, you shared some really interesting information about, in some cases, some really small things. Like even in the first county that you went to, you stayed at the Mason House Inn. And was that in Van Buren County?
Yes.
All right. And you decided to write about the fact that there are chamber pots in every room.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised to learn that there was no indoor plenuming in this hotel until 1980, even though it had been open forever.
I was surprised to learn that also.
So people used to go there because they wanted a rustic experience. But it's details like that that I think make the book such a fun read. But also, it made me wonder, how did you decide what you wanted to include?
What I wanted to include as I went to a county? Well, again, I knew Iowa fairly well before I started on this, and there were definitely things I definitely wanted to see when I went to a county. In the cases of counties I hadn't visited before, and then the other thing was just discovering stuff out there. There's more to this state than people realize, and this is what I'm trying to prove with these books.
Well, and some of the small details, like I said, are just wonderful. You included some pictures of courthouses, and Iowa courthouses are quite celebrated, in Iowa at least, because some of them are so incredibly beautiful. But you also, for example, in Davis County, you included a picture inside the Davis County Courthouse showing off the basket weave jail bars, which are really cool.
Yeah.
I certainly have never seen them anywhere else.
Well, they are different, and the people in Davis County were intelligent enough to preserve them. They have some kind of office down there, but they left those doors up, and it just adds to the character of the courthouse.
Definitely. And Connie, you are featured in a lot of this book. And Carson took a lot of pictures of you in different places. Did you know that you were going to be in all of these photos and featured on so many pages of the book?
Well, I didn't when we began this journey, but I got used to it and it was lovely. I liked it.
And he never gave you the camera?
One time we were driving and I had to take a photo of a tractor that we were passing, I think. And then the last photo in the book is of him, and so I had to take that. But that was about it.
There's one picture of me in each book. I take off on Alfred Hitchcock with his movies.
All right. And so you mentioned the people that you interviewed in the different locations. Do you think that it went better when you went to a county where you had someone set up to interview someone that might give you a little insight? Or did you enjoy the ones where you just sort of lucked into people better?
It's a toss-up. I really enjoyed talking to a couple of my heroes, like Greg Brown and the folk singer from Iowa City. Mm-hmm. I'm sure most people know him. And Vern Dan Herter, who is just a wonderful man and a tremendous football player. He was an all-pro football player for the Miami Dolphins. So it was a thrill that those guys talked with me, and then it was fun, just meeting people and being surprised at what they had to say or what their background was.
Well, we will talk more about your adventures in just a moment. We'll also talk about the many celebrations that you went to in 2010 and 2011 as well. Right now, I'm talking to Carson and Connie Odie, and they traveled through each of Iowa's 99 counties in the very soggy year of 2008, put out a book about that journey. It's called Iowa Spaces, Places, Faces. And then Carson went back and visited a whole bunch of festivals across the state of Iowa, 103 different festivals, and he's written about those adventures in the book Celebrate Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about a couple of different journeys across the state, visiting each of Iowa's 99 counties. In a few minutes, I'll be talking with Dennis Lee and Darren Schumacher. Together, they make up Team 99 Counties. Their goal is to run across every single county in Iowa to raise money and awareness for the American Heart Association. They have gone through 39 counties so far. We'll talk to them in a few minutes. But right now, Carson and Connie Odie are here with me. In 2008, they visited all 99 counties, and then Carson wrote about their journey in the book Iowa Spaces, Places, Faces. They had so much fun doing this that Carson set out in 2010 and 2011 and went to 103 different festivals in the state of Iowa. He's written about all of those adventures in the book Celebrate Iowa. And one of the things, Carson, that I found very interesting as you went through all of these counties, you visited, of course, a lot of small towns, and you shared some of your thoughts about towns that were thriving, or at least you shared how impressed you were when you found a town that was thriving. And of course, you went to some towns that were not thriving as well. What do you think made the difference? There are a lot of small communities in Iowa that are struggling. What makes a small town thrive, from your opinion?
Well, one of the heartening things on working on both of these books was that Iowa small towns are in better shape than we are led to believe. When you get to know a little more intimately, like I did on these research trips, and talk to the people that are leaders in these towns, you realize that there are really still people that care a lot about their towns and work very hard at keeping them vibrant, especially towns maybe 2,000 or 3,000 on up. Envision Iowa is a wonderful program that has helped them revitalize their downtown business districts, and they fill up the storefronts with different types of businesses, offices, or whatever. If there isn't retail there, so it's still a vibrant downtown. But there's more retail in these towns too that I was led to believe too, and I dedicate the book to these community leaders and the volunteers that keep their towns vibrant. And even the towns that look rough, that are obviously suffering economically, there's still people there to care about them. And there's still people that want them to be better, even though the struggle is too great for them.
You write about one of these people, Ellen Lemke, and she was in Bedford. And you met her just through the local library. The librarian told you about her. She's 93 years old, or she was in 2008. And you even published one of her poems about a small town.
Yeah.
And what a character.
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to meet her. I would have loved to meet her. But I was told about her, and I definitely wanted to use one of her poems. She sent me one of her books. Her books on poems.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And, well, here, I've got it open to this page, so I'll read her small town poem that you included. Small town, you can talk about your cities with people by the score of public transportation that goes right by your door. You can talk about tall buildings reaching towards the sky, cathedrals and museums and crowds are rushing by. I prefer a small town where I know my neighbors well. If you have a lot of time, all its virtues I can tell.
I loved that. That was a terrific little poem.
That is wonderful. Well, it was interesting, too. You visited all of these different counties and all of these little small towns. And some of the counties, of course, are tourist counties. Like you visited, of course, Pella on your journeys. And there are so many different places in Pella to visit. And a lot of people go to Pella to visit. You also went to some counties where no one goes out of their way to visit unless they have family. How did you approach the touristy counties differently?
Well, the touristy counties, for one thing, were easier to research because I knew quite a bit about them before I got there because of all their publicity. As far as doing it differently, I'm not so sure I did it. There was any different technique as far as researching in the tourist county. I was interested in everything around Iowa.
I'm going to ask each of you this question. What was one of your biggest surprises on this journey? And Carson, you can go first.
Well, as I indicated, I knew the state quite well before I started. And when people ask me this question, I do get this question often. We do programs. I say that the fact that the small towns are surviving quite well, which I explained earlier, was a pleasant surprise to me. And that's about all I can come up in that regard.
How about you, Connie?
I grew up on a farm in northwest Iowa, and I thought I knew quite a bit about farming. But as we traveled across the state, I learned a lot more about low-till, no-till, whatever kind of till they were doing. We heard about it. And the organic farm, where they raised 80 to 90% of what they ate, and the Alta Milk Dairy, where the cows are being milked 24/7. So there were surprises in that area I haven't been back on the farm for a long time, but things have changed.
One of the interesting things about how you put the book together, for me it was interesting because you went, as I mentioned, back and forth along each tier of counties. And when we think about character of different places in Iowa, we tend to think about northwestern Iowa and central Iowa and southeastern Iowa. But because you went back and forth, it kind of really displayed the incredible variety in Iowa. Did you feel that?
Yes, I'm really happy with our technique on how we laid the book out. And incidentally, the history of Iowa starts down in the southeast corner. That's the first settlements, the first explorers are down there. And then as you go tier by tier through the state and go north and then end up in the upper, at the northwest corner, that's where the last settlers, the last part of the state was settled. And there are things that happen in one tier that you go up a couple more tiers, and it's related. For example, the Spirit Lake Massacre mm-hmm. had its roots in a couple tiers down. If you read the book, read the total book, you'll realize that there were some circumstances that happened a couple tiers down that was the gestation of this terrible massacre.
You made a real effort on your journeys to take a look at history, but not just focus on one period of history. You write about the native settlements that we know about that were in Iowa. You write a little bit about the pioneer days in some cases, and you take a look at what it looks like right now. Was that a conscious effort to try to look at several tiers of history?
Yes, and I also wanted to I combed through the history books in these county seat libraries, looking for interesting tidbits too. I wanted to be interesting history, not dry, boring stuff. And I was surprised, or maybe this is one of my surprises, is how colorful Iowa's history is. And I think I bring that out in the book.
Another surprise, perhaps in some regard, was the variety of religions and cultures that we have, different ethnic backgrounds of people, and we knew they were out there, but to visit with them one-on-one was very special. Everything from the American Indians in Tama to the Hindu temple and the Bosnians and the El Cader, the Arab connection. So we did learn a lot firsthand, and of course all the Hispanic populations in Perry and Storm Lake, very, very informative and wonderful information.
Now, I mentioned the weather that year in 2008, which was, of course, a year of tremendous flooding. And you started way down in the southeast corner of the state in January. So you did that whole bottom tier during the depth of winter. And as you worked your way through the state, it was summer and it was wet, and you visited a number of communities that were almost underwater. Did you ever think about rescheduling your route?
Never. No. This was a story about Iowa as it was in the year 2008. And whatever was happening in the towns we got there, that's what got reported. Up in the Great Lakes area, they probably knew it, not real happy that I went through there in the wintertime. But that's the way it worked out. And I find that an attractive place in wintertime, too. It's a little quieter. You don't have to fight the traffic and the serenity of looking out on a frozen lake and snow and stuff. Of course, I'm a Norwegian. I appreciate those things more than most people.
Well, the landscape does change dramatically throughout your journey. I mean, during the summer months, clearly it's a lot prettier to look out the window while you're driving. Yeah. One of the things that struck me, and there are so many little places that you wrote about that I've wanted to visit and I haven't visited yet, and there were a few places, too, that I didn't know about, and I may hurt somebody's feelings by mentioning this, but I didn't know about Stanton, Iowa, which is a little town with a whole lot of character. They call themselves the Little White City. Can you tell us about Stanton?
Well, this is the town where the coffee lady, Mrs. Olson,
right.
She was born there. It's a Swedish—
From the old Folgers commercials.
From the old Folgers commercials. This is a Swedish town, Lutheran town, and they make a point of everybody painting their house white. And as I noted in the book, I found a yellow house. And I said, well, I must have been a Norwegian that didn't quite understand what you're supposed to do.
But, and
it was a unique—
He can make fun of Norwegians.
I can do
well,
that.
Right?
Yeah, that's what we do. We make fun of ourselves. We're the best material for that.
Well, it's so many interesting little characteristics of some of these small towns. Was it hard to visit Polk County to visit Des Moines since you've lived there for so long?
Well, it's hard not to write a lot about it. We love living in Des Moines. And, of course, the larger cities like Des Moines and Davenport and Sioux City didn't get the per capita cover that the smaller towns did. But we tried to cover the basic character so that you understood what the city was all about.
And I find myself looking through the end of the book, and I must not have marked this page, but there's a little town that you visited that is known as the Town of Murals.
Yes.
And I was struck by the pictures from that town. I can't come up with the name of the town.
I think it's Rock Rapids.
Rock Rapids.
Yeah.
Okay. And they had some wonderful murals. They also had a mural depicting ladies of the night up on one of their buildings. Is there any controversy about some of the murals in Rock Rapids?
I didn't hear any controversy, but I sure enjoyed that one above the bank. It was, they did a nice job in painting those ladies up there.
So once you put this book together and published it, and you did this yourself, why did you decide to do it on your own?
Well, I had a folder labeled publishing companies, and I was going to approach publishers with some sample layouts and copy and offer to do all the layout work and that type of thing if they would publish it. And I recently looked at that folder, and there's nothing in it. They wouldn't even talk to me when they found out what I was doing, that the volume of the book, the size of the book, all the color picture. And I have experience in the publishing business since we moved to Des Moines because I took a job with Meredith Corporation about 40 years ago. And then I worked for them a couple of years, and I went on my own as a freelancer and retained them as a major client for the rest of that time. So I understood the publishing business, and it wasn't really a big stretch to self-publish. I didn't have to go to a self-publishing company either to do that. And I have a very bright wife that things that we had to figure out between us, we got it done. And it worked out very well, and we had no problems.
And have you had a lot of people interested in the first book? Because you've brought out a second book that we haven't spent time talking about at all, but have you sold a lot of these copies?
At this point, we have passed 9,000 copies sold for Iowa Spaces, Places, Faces, and it's still selling.
All right, so a lot of people want...
Yes, it sold very well.
In-depth pictures and mm-hmm. stories about Iowa. What made you decide to go back and do some of the festivals?
Well, we're working on the Iowa Spaces, Places, Faces. We became aware of the festivals in these small towns. This is one of the things they always promoted in their literature and when we talked to them. And they were on weekends, so we didn't experience any of them. We mentioned them in the book. I probably gave them a paragraph or two that there were these festivals. And the thought occurred to me that this is material for a second book. So
I had to
talk to Connie again.
Right, I was going to say, but this time you set out on your own.
This time I had to go out on my own, yes, because this time I had to do all the research on weekends. And it was a more challenging book to do for that reason. They didn't schedule these events for my convenience. And we have six grandchildren that live in Des Moines. They don't even live in the suburbs. They live in Des Moines. And they're into all kinds of activities, and this is one of the sacrifices I made that I missed all these while I was researching Celebrate Iowa. So Connie was our representative, our representative, yeah, at the these festivals and children events,
right?
And that's the reason when I got back to town, she went into her crabby. Copy editor mold and, did all that work like she did on the other book.
All right. Well, and going through the second book, I certainly created a long list of things that I want to go and experience in Iowa. Do you have, this is not a fair question, but do you have a favorite or two from all of those experiences that you would recommend anyone go to?
You're right. That's not a fair question. But I really enjoyed the music festivals. The Glenn Miller Festival in Clarinda was really special. It happened to be a hot summer day, but they held all the music events in the high school gymnasium and the high school auditorium, And in between, there was a cafeteria where they were serving food. And they had the most, or they had the, some of the best big band talent in the world there. They had a band from Japan and another band from Switzerland. And the Glenn Miller Band was there also. And then there were several other big bands. Terrific music, good food, and it was air conditioned. And there's the Iowa City Jazz Festival, of course, which is special. Iowa City's just a wonderful setting for a festival like that. There was a Jazz and Blues Festival in January in Cherokee that had terrific talent. And there's a pub crawl and a jam session for 4 hours on Saturday afternoon. It just didn't get any better. I went to a lot of bluegrass festivals. There are quite a few of them around the state.
So lots of wonderful places to go. Yeah. Carson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charity.
And Connie, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
In 2008, Carson and Connie Odie traveled through all 99 counties in Iowa. Then in 2010 and 2011, Carson hit 103 different festivals in the state of Iowa. He's written about both of these journeys, first in Iowa Spaces, Places, Faces, and in Celebrate Iowa. Coming up in just a moment, we'll talk about a very different journey across all of Iowa's 99 counties, this journey on foot. I'll talk to Team 99 Counties, Dennis Lee and Darren Shoemaker, who are running across the state. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we've been talking about a couple of different journeys across Iowa's 99 counties. And now we're moving on to the less comfortable of these two journeys. Dennis Lee and Darren Shoemaker are Team 99 Counties. Together, they're running across all of Iowa's 99 counties. They have completed 39. They're hoping to not only survive it, but they're also working to raise money and awareness for the American Heart Association. And they are with me today. Hello, Darren.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
It is a pleasure.
And Dennis is going to be with us in just a moment, but maybe you can take us back to the genesis of this idea. How did you think of it?
Well, I don't know if it was so much of a thought or if it was a mistake. It's been quite a painful process. It started back, Dennis and I have been friends through running for quite some time, and back in December of 2009, we're at his Christmas party, and we were arguing about where we should run the next day, and we jokingly said, well, why don't we run from this town to that town, and, well, heck, why don't we run across the whole county? Dennis lives in Walford, Iowa, which is on the eastern edge of Benton County. So the next day, in the middle of a blizzard, Dennis's wife dropped us off on the western edge of Benton County, and we ran across that whole thing, and the idea was born.
And that first idea, how did that morph into thinking that you should do this in conjunction with the American Heart Association?
Well, both Dennis and myself, Dennis's parents both passed away because of heart-related conditions, and I have a history of heart-related conditions in my family, both on my mother and father's side. And we figured if we were crazy enough to undertake such a journey, that maybe we could bring some awareness to a problem that is facing our nation, which is obesity and overweight and things related to heart health.
And that first run in a blizzard, what about that run made you want to do that 98 more times?
For me anyways, it didn't happen right during that run, but I do remember snapshots from that run. I remember running through Blairstown, and a bunch of people were coming out of church in that town, and I jokingly said, how far is Walford from here? And they said, oh, about 25 minutes east. And I laughed to myself thinking, well, we're running. It's going to take a few more than 25 minutes. And just the interaction and the odd looks that you get from people, that if they know you're out there doing something crazy like that, that maybe we can motivate someone to get up off the couch and exercise a few times a week and take their own health in their hands. If we're dumb enough to run across the county, well, I think that anybody can get up and be active in their own health.
So as you guys turned this into a plan from just a crazy idea one day, what was your vision?
To motivate and to inspire others. We both born and raised in Iowa, and it just seemed like, boy, this is something that nobody's ever done before. And in Iowa, we both love our state a great deal, and this gave us a chance to see some places in Iowa that we would have never otherwise have seen. And it just sort of happened. Something like this, I don't think you could plan out and then find yourself doing it, because if you actually put pen to paper before you started, you realize that our goal is quite lofty and crazy, and our goal to finish and to raise money is, I don't know if it'll ever happen. If we would have looked down at what we were looking at before we started, I doubt we would have done it. But instead, we just started, and here we are in the middle of it.
And when you first started doing those first few counties, did you make a plan? Did you map out your route?
Yeah, we mapped out how we would get across the county, and then not only just across the counties, but maybe we could do this for something bigger in the Heart Association. It sort of spitballed from there. Typically what we do is we plan our route across the county ahead of time, usually based on we try not to stay on too busy of a road, and we like to go through little towns, interact with the locals. And we like to go from west to east, and our rules are simple. You got to run across the whole county. You got to run from west to east, and you have to run at least 26.2 miles, which is the distance of a marathon. Some counties are much longer than 26.2 miles, and others are a little bit shorter, so we just add a little bit of distance on those counties.
Can you take breaks?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Our goal is that we can we like to run it all in one go. However, we don't have a problem stopping and talking to people and drinking some Gatorade or eating some Pop-Tarts, which are our snack of choice.
For both of you?
Actually, Dennis is more of a Snickers guy. I am partial to the Pop-Tarts.
Okay. And do you let people know that you're going to be doing this before you do it, or do you just kind of show up in a county?
Well, that is something that has sort of developed as we've gone. We, at first, it was just difficult enough to arrange for us to do it and psych ourselves up to run a marathon distance. As we've progressed, we've sent out press releases. We've had some news stories done in print and on local news stations. And we try to promote as best we can. Unfortunately, we are not the so-called brains of a operation to raise money. We're more the grunt labor end of it. So we are trying to improve on that, and hopefully as we improve on that end of our journey, we will get some more donations and reach our goal.
All right. Well, and Dennis is on the line. We've been having a little bit of phone problem right now. So, Dennis, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Dennis Lee, the other half of Team 99 Counties. And Dennis, I'll ask you, and Darren, I want to know from you, too. Had you run marathons before you started doing this? Dennis?
Yeah, I've run a few. And before I get started, I'd just like to say I do usually lag behind anyway. So it's pretty typical that I come in late. But, yeah, I run probably between 20 and 30 marathons before we started this.
All right. So you were used to extreme long distances. How about you, Darren?
I'd done maybe three or four, but as Dennis will agree, the long distance of a marathon in an actual marathon is quite different from running across the county. In a marathon, you have people cheering for you. You have somebody handing you Gatorade, somebody saying, good job. A lot of times when we run across the county, we don't see a whole lot of people cheering for us or handing us Gatorade. It's a little bit more of a mental journey than a physical one.
Are you both married?
I am not.
Okay. All right. So Dennis, what did your wife think when you told her what you and Darren were going to do?
She pretty much thought it was crazy, and just kind of let us go on about our business for a while. But then she has got involved. My wife, Chris, now she probably is the one that takes us across most of the counties. sometimes we get rides from others, but usually she's the one that treks along with us, and she goes shopping and goes to the local towns, and she enjoys that, I think, most of the time. But so now I think, I mean, she still thinks we're crazy, but I think she...
I'm not going to disagree with her, Dennis, so...
Yeah.
And so do you carry water with you? Do you carry supplies with you?
Most times we self-support. We carry our water. A lot of times my wife, Chris, will bring stuff out to us in the middle or toward the end, especially if we're running, you know, upwards of 40 miles. She'll come out in the 30s and help us get through that because it gets pretty touch and go when we're in those, up in that mileage. But most part, we carry everything we need with us.
And you can find a link to Team 99 County's fundraising page and blog entries on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio. And Darren, you're the storyteller of this group, and I've been reading through a lot of these stories, and there seems to be a thread, which is horrible, horrible weather. When the weather is horrible, why do you go out and do it anyway?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, we are not the brightest of folk, and you mentioned, asked me about advertising, trying to promote ourselves. When we say we're going to show up, we have to show up. If it's in the paper saying we're going to run a county, well, we're not serving as a very good example to motivate others if the weather keeps us from doing something or we had something else come up. We have to make our mission and others' health a priority, so... We found ourselves in some pretty dicey situations, as I'm sure Dennis can attest to.
Absolutely.
Tell me a story. And Dennis, what was the most difficult run so far?
For me, I look back and think of Allamakee County. It's probably the one where we came the closest to stopping at mile 5. We started, it was 30 to 32 degrees, blowing wind, sleet, rain, snow, slush, and we ran through Waukon. Before we got into Waukon, we were soaking wet. I mean, cars splashing us with water and ice, and we got into Waukon where we were staying with some folks there, and we ran within 5 blocks of where the vehicle was, and we just kind of looked at each other, and I know we were both thinking, let's run to the vehicle, but we kept on going, and at one point, Darren had his gloves frozen so much he couldn't get his hands out and he couldn't get his hands back in. And it was pretty miserable run. But it's memorable. Looking back, I wouldn't hit it any other way. It was just very difficult. I mean, it got done painful, chafed, sore, cold, but it was done.
And like 28 miles in 4 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. But, I also add, one thing I always tell Darren, he's like, oh, we're going to go, And I say, well, the counties aren't going to run themselves, and they got to be done eventually anyway, so we might as well just go do it.
In Lyon County, you almost ran off a cliff.
Oh, the bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another odd experience where the bridge was just gone, and we were running, and fortunately we were able to only run a few blocks out of our way because I think that run was over 34 miles, too.
Right, you had already gone 30 miles when you ran down a street, and all of a sudden there's no bridge.
Yep. Yeah, and I would have, like I told Darren, I would have walked across that river if I had to. Get done.
How do you decide which county you're going to do next?
Well, a lot of times we'll do them when they're paid for. I mean, we have some sponsors in Cedar Rapids area. Cedar Valley Running Association has sponsored several counties for us. And when we raise the $250 for that county, that's the next one we're going to run. And right now we're looking at Winneshiek County, which we've put off a long time because I've been injured. I've actually had plantar fasciitis, but Winneshiek is going to be our next county, I think, and we're going to run that one in 2 or 3 weeks.
All right. You haven't set the date for that quite yet?
Not exactly, I don't believe. Maybe Darren has.
Nope, I haven't.
And so, but before you start fundraising for the different counties, how do you decide which one you're going to start focusing on the fundraising for?
Well, we've had several different ways of doing that. One February, I think almost 2 years ago, we just decided to do Four Corners February, where we ran all four corners in the month of February. So we just randomly went through those, through the corners, and then we ran two in consecutive weeks after that, which finished with Plymouth, which was 40 miles long. And that's actually, I blew out my knee on that one.
Oh. But
that's where I found out, you know, running six counties in 6 weeks, not a good idea. So,
go figure. Who would have known?
Other than that, we had a plan where we were just going to run a county that didn't touch another county that we've run. And we've only got like two or three of those left.
Yeah, a lot of the decision-making comes into logistics. It can be pretty tough to organize a trek where you drive 5 hours to run 5 hours to drive 5 hours back to where we live at. So that also plays a big role in our planning or lack thereof.
Have you attempted to convince other people to get out there and run these counties with you?
Yes, we actually had Dennis's son ran track and field and cross country at Wartburg, and one of his teammates ran a portion of Blackhawk County with us.
So you haven't had a lot of people who are quite crazy enough to do this ultra marathoning across 99 counties with you, though.
No, we haven't had that Forrest Gump moment where we have a crowd of runners following us across any one county.
Well, maybe it's still coming.
Hopefully.
Right. So how many do you hope to do this year?
I always hope to get like 20. Last year we did two, and that was mostly because of my injury, or all because of my injury. So I'm hoping we'll get between 15 and 20 this year yet.
Right.
I'm coming back now, so.
You're in this for the long haul, though. This could be a few more years before you're completed.
Yes. Yep.
But it will be completed.
What do you think that will mean when you get through all 99 counties?
Hopefully we'll figure that out. I'm thinking that there'll be a lot of man hugs and tears shed on that last county. I don't know what Dennis is anticipating.
Yep. I believe that, and I picture it often on the last one, which will be Delaware County. We've already know which the last county is.
Why Delaware County?
Because, well, one, it's the healthiest county in Iowa, and the other is logistics-wise, it just works out nice because the county, Delaware, ends at Dyersville. So we figure we'll have some people there hopefully waiting for us, and I hope we'll have some people running with us.
Celebrate on the Field of Dreams?
Or near it anyway, somewhere by Dyersville. So.
All right. Well, good luck to you both. Let us know when you set the date for Winneshiek.
Will
okay.
do.
All right.
We'll do.
Thank you very much. Dennis Lee and Darren Shoemaker are Team 99 Counties. Together, they are running across all of Iowa's 99 counties. They've done 39 so far. You can find a link to their fundraising page on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Caitlin Fry, with technical support from Sarah McCammon. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, Dance Marathon, raising money for kids with cancer on college campuses around the country and across Iowa.
Coming up next, Fresh Air with Terry Gross. And today, Dave Davies filling in for Terry, and he'll be speaking to Fred Kaplan, author of The Insurgents, David Petrie.